Welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Douglas Larson. Presently, I'm serving at First Lutheran Church in Aiken as the interim senior pastor. I was here back in Lent, so some of you remember me from that time also. Lights on.
You're on.
It's good for us to get to come together on Sunday morning. And for those who may be visiting, it's good to have you here as part of our worship also. So there are some announcements on the back of your bulletin. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's a beef and corn feed coming up. So take note about that. And looking for some helpers for that, I believe, or people to take over that. Thank you to the Melmo Area Lines for their help. And the 4th of July picnic basket coming up. And then the Glen 4th of July parade is happening. Also, there are T-shirts available. And thank you to those who helped make Vacation Bible School a success, to all the teachers, kitchen help, activity helpers, music leaders, and special thanks to Joanne Steven. Is that how it's pronounced? Steven. It sounds like it was a good event. And coming up on this Tuesday, June 25th in Brainerd, I believe it is, there's a blanket exercise, which is a very powerful experience helping us to understand about the Native American population and how we as a nation have interacted with them. So I invite you to think about attending one of those events. It's a very, very, very good. That's all the announcements I know of, so I'm going to ask Sandy to introduce a special temple talk this morning.
Good morning. Ooh, this one's working. Our church supports 5 local organizations through your benevolence giving, and one of the organizations is Pearl Crisis Center, and we've invited 3 ladies from Pearl Crisis to come and talk to you to tell you about what we are supporting. And here they are. Do you want to stand there? We don't know what we're doing, so we're good.
Good morning.
I'm
Judy Pearson. I'm the director of Pearl Crisis Center. I've been there for, it'll be 17 years in August. So quite some time. I'm a licensed social worker. I'm from Malacca, married, have a couple children, a grandchild, a couple dogs, and that's kind of my story. And I got into this work, didn't plan on it. I was going to work in CPS, but it just kept calling me to went to this field because both my grandmas suffered from domestic violence back in the day. One more severe, I guess, than the other. One was more physical violence, gun to her head. Everybody said she was crazy back then, no help for her. And my other grandma pretty much, you know, fell rule under my grandpa and did what he said and kind of went with his commands to her. So I realized that this was the direction I needed to go for them, because there was no help for them back then. So I'm trying to make up for that and help people now. And things certainly have changed since back then, too, as far as services and how we look at domestic violence and those issues. There's light finally shined on it, and we're actually addressing it. So that's just a little background of why I'm in this field. So Pearl Crisis Center, we have one office, but we serve all of Mille Lacs County. So, and we have a staff of 8. Some are part-time, some are full-time, and these are 2 of my staff that came with me. Bless them for coming up here. This is not my forte to stand up in front of people and talk, so bear with me. We serve Mille Lacs County. We do not have a shelter where people live at, although Waukon, you may be familiar with Waukon Shelter. That's run by the Mille Lacs Band, but we work really closely with them, with their advocates, and a lot of our clients get referred there to, you know, do their stay there. We use a hotel in the county for safety. or it's temporary, and we work with the hotel staff to address that, and they're like mini advocates in the hotel. They're wonderful, and they help us all a lot. So I'm going to just briefly go through some of the highlights that Pearl does, and then Tracy and Glenda will share a little bit about what advocacy is and how you can identify domestic violence, sexual assault, how you can refer, and where to get help from. So, like I said, we have one office. We do lots of things. One of the things that we developed years ago was a thrift store in Malacca. It's called the Community Closet. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. We opened that in about 2005, 2006. We were getting so many donations, we didn't know what to do with them. So we decided to open a thrift store. And we make about $30,000 a year in the thrift store, minus expenses, of course. And we have a great landlord who gives us a good deal. Tracy manages it, so she'll talk briefly about that. We also do Salvation Army at our office. I believe we're the only place in the county now that does Salvation Army. So that can be for anybody. So it doesn't have to be domestic violence. Anybody in need can get Salvation Army one time in a year. So kind of keep that in your mind, too. If they need gas or rent or electric or something, refer them to us. We also do an OBEAS bullying prevention program that we started in the Malacca School District about 5 years ago. We're trainers. I'm a trainer, and another staff with me is a trainer of that. So we now have that program in the Malacca School District, and bullying has decreased immensely since then. And bear with me here. One of our highlights I want to quickly talk about is a few years ago, a bunch of us systems people and some ministerial and community members came together to talk about what we can do about domestic violence. And we met and we brainstormed and we decided that we wanted to put a domestic violence court in the county that was specifically for offenders can be enrolled in it rather than going to prison. And then there's lots of rules and do's and don'ts that they need to follow. And that was incorporated about 3 years ago. And Glenda's the coordinator of that, so she can speak a little more on that as well. But that is really going wonderful. And the men who decide to go through the program rather than prison or jail, they go through phases. And we've had 5 graduates, and we've had 0 reoffending to their victims. So we have proven results that it's working great. You may have read about it in the paper. I don't know. The Messenger did several articles on the domestic violence court, so it's very successful. I'm very proud of that. We do stuff in the schools. We do safe dates curriculum in the schools. We do it in Malacca, Princeton, and Onamia, and we've done it at Neosing as well. So Tirza, who's not here, but Glenda also helps with that. We go in and we teach the kids a 9-session. It's evidence-based curriculum. So talking about healthy relationships and just tips and red flags and know what to look for, and also then the kids know of our services because we help anyone 0 to however old you are, men or women. Doesn't matter if you're a victim of violence, we are there for you to support you and provide resources and advocacy help. So I better quit talking or these ladies will never talk. So they're just going to go a little more in depth on maybe what they do and what advocacy is and what we do for clients. So who wants to go first?
Well, like Judy said, hi, good morning. I'm Glenda. I actually started doing an internship at Pearl, and that's how I came to Pearl. I actually said, I'd never work in a nonprofit, and I'll never be in domestic violence work, and here I am. So you just never know where life will take you. And I am very, very passionate about, we all are, as you can tell, about giving to our community, having a resource available for victims in our community. Some of the things that we see on a daily basis can be really hard. And our director, Judy, she does an amazing job of not just helping those in the community here, but also her staff and making sure that we're healthy too. And that is a huge part of that because, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of victims, it's hard stuff. It's hard stuff. You see kids that are in homes where they're witnessing violence on a daily basis, and they have no control. And so just to know that we can be there for their families and help them kind of get back, you know, to some normalcy, it's really something really special to be a part of. And so, like Judy said, you know, we do the domestic violence court. So part of that has been just really building relationships and trust within the system itself, not just for us as workers, but as for victims too. A lot of victims don't call the police because they're afraid they don't know what's going to happen when they call the police. Maybe they have before and nothing happened, right? Or maybe they, you know, got arrested too, right? So, and a lot of kids are afraid to come forward because they're scared that they might get taken out of the home or that they won't get to see their parent. So there's a lot of things that go into that. So part of the domestic violence court has really been really helpful in restoring faith for victims in the system that something will get done, and that ultimately the offenders, they're people too, and they learn this behavior. It's a learned behavior, and it can be unlearned. So that is really the main goal, that they are actually going to be able to get help. Because in the system prior, they were not able to really hold them as accountable because they didn't have the people, you know, to help do that. So we have a surveillance officer that monitors them and very intense monitoring. So then that will help ultimately keep victims safer, too, because then the offender is being monitored. In the schools, when we do safe dates, I've helped Tirza do that. And the last time we were there in Princeton, a young girl came up to us after class, and she said, I didn't know that my relationship right now is actually abusive. And what had happened was her boyfriend actually had threatened to commit suicide if she broke up with him. And she thought that was okay and didn't know that wasn't normal. And so her mom did not know she was even dating anybody. She was only in seventh grade, which is young. But and so we were able to address that and help her talk to her mom and then also get help for the boy. So those things do happen in this community and in a lot of communities. And so I'm just humbled that we're here to be able to help. And we do a lot of things. We could probably talk all day on all the things that we do. Sometimes I'm like, wow, we really do a lot of stuff.
Two pages.
Yes, this is just, yeah, and pamphlets. And, but I think, too, just, you know, and I'm also a licensed social worker as well, and so a big part of what we do is we really want to prevent this if we can. You know, we would really like to work ourselves out of a job. That's what I always say. We're always working ourselves out of a job. But that would be our ultimate goal, obviously, that nobody has to live in a home where there's violence. And so, you know, we'll keep working at that mission. So I'll let Tracy talk more about that.
Just quickly, I know we have like two pages of things we do, so just quickly, I think Sandy said that we'll be doing coffee with you guys, so if you have questions, we'll do questions and answers during in your coffee session, and we can go over more in depth, and we could also come back and do like a real intense training on diving into the stuff we do in DV, Domestic Violence 101, so it's just FYI.
Hi, I'm Tracy. Glenda and I actually started at Pearl about the same time. Like her, it was not exactly a field I expected to find myself in. I actually started volunteering at the thrift store. That became a really great place for me. I had gone through a medical issue, an emergency, and I needed a place to get back involved in the community once I started to get better. And one of the things I learned from that illness was I needed to learn how to advocate for myself. And I found a great place to actually help advocate for others, so that became a passion of mine as well. The thrift store for me is an amazing place. It's a volunteer run. We're open 5 days a week. Like Judy said, it started off getting just big donations coming into the office. Can barely keep up with what comes in. It's a great avenue for us to not only help people that are leaving an abusive situation. They may sometimes leave with just clothes on their back. We can provide clothing, anything that they need to get set up to start over somewhere else. We have linens, household items, games and things for the kiddos if there's kids involved. It's also an amazing place for people because it's kind of like all the volunteers there know if somebody comes in and they might need some services, they know to guide them over to our office. It's a safe place for people to come in and get information about Pearl. We have our brochures and cards and things at a very discreet area that they can come in and shop and also get information about us if they need help. So it's a wonderful avenue that way. The community gets involved. They volunteer. They donate items. It's a really wonderful place. And then all of the money comes back, like Judy said, less expenses, to help us support victims in other areas that they need, things that you know, are you don't think about diapers for kids, you know, different things, gas cards, any kind of things that people might need that we can help them with. Judy mentioned Salvation Army. That's another great way that people can come to our office sort of discreetly, because they can come in and say that they're there for Salvation Army, but really be coming in to speak with an advocate. So those are venues that where people can come in if they're scared. It's a small community. Everybody knows everybody. But there are ways that they can seek help where it's not so obvious. So it's kind of, it's a benefit of having a thrift store. And people just love coming in and shopping, too, and finding out about more of what we do. And it's been wonderful. The community has been so supportive of us. It's amazing. So,
Thank you very much.
I think Sandy will share, like, our list here, too, as well. So thank you.
There'll be a free will donation right outside the door as you leave church for anyone that wants to give to them. And choir, one of these ladies loves church choir. She is waiting to hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
On this Sunday and next month on the fourth Sunday and the August also, the area Lutheran churches in Bethesda, Bethlehem, outside of Aiken, First Lutheran Aiken, and also Deerwood churches are exchanging pulpits. And so I'm not sure where Pastor James is today, but I know I'm here. And we're preaching on the theme of creation and caring for creation, being part of creation. So the text today will tie in with that. And my sermon also will be a part of that. So we're kind of taking a pause in the regular lectionary today and changing pulpits this way also. Given that, let's begin with our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Sky, number 853. 853.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. We pause to reflect upon our thoughts, words, and deeds in relation to what God wants for us. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There is good news. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in the good news.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Give you the praises you're due. You give.
thank you to the choir. Beautiful, beautiful message and sound. The first lesson today is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. In this section of the book of Proverbs, wisdom, the wisdom of what God, what wisdom is being, is talking, and how it ties in with how God created the world and the relationship. So you think of wisdom as, in this text, it's a woman speaking about how things are tied together by God. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before I go on, is this microphone in front of me besides the one I'm hearing?
That's on too.
Yeah. That's on?
Yep.
So the red light's on. It's on.
Okay. The second lesson is from Psalm 148, and that'll also be the text for my sermon today. It's probably a liturgy of praise and celebration of God and God's creation. And so as you hear that, we'll go back and forth. Let us read this responsively with the congregation reading the dark print. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bonds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you see monsters in all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up an arm for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him.
Our epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And here Paul is celebrating Christ, who has always been, always will be, and tying in the creation of the world with Christ, and Christ being the Word, and through the Word of God, action takes place. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is taken from John chapter 6, verses 41 through 51.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple, and he is preaching and he's teaching. And the result of all this is the people, the leaders, get more and more angry for the claims he makes of himself. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day of life, the opportunity to come into your house to worship you. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart here be found acceptable in your sight. Keep us in your word, for your word is truth. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In Jesus, we see God face to face. We hear God speaking to us the words that God wants us to know. And that's beautiful and wonderful and great. And that we have that understanding, that Savior who has come. And so we hear it from the horse's mouth. But we also hear God and see God in other ways in our world. Oftentimes describing God in a kind of a veiled way or in a hidden way. Or behind a mask. We see God, well, in the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." And behind creation, we see God veiled or hidden or masked to a certain degree. The theme that I chose for today was the cosmos. And the word cosmos means universe or means world, and we look at nature and the cosmos we have, the heavens and the earth and so forth, but the original meaning of the word cosmos means order. Order. And we look at creation, we look at the universe, we look at the world, and we see an order to it. And behind that order is the one who created that, the creator of heaven and earth. And so we look at God. And as we look at creation, as we look at God revealed in kind of a hidden, little bit of a masked or veiled way, we see some promises and assurances that are helpful to us as we live our life. So let's go back and take a look at some of this cosmos, this creation that God has made. If we go back thousands of years, we find that people have been trying to find and take hold of an order to the world. And the magnificent stone placements in Stonehenge in southern England, they're not totally sure why they were made, but part of what I understand is that they would help to understand the seasons of the year. And what happened either on the 20th or 21st or today the 22nd, yesterday the 22nd, longest day of the year, right? So now what do we know is going to happen? The days are going to start getting shorter. Stonehenge, part of it might have been for the people to know that the sun has reached or the earth has moved, whatever it is, a certain point, and now the days will be getting shorter. Helps to know the seasons, the of the year, solstice, the equinox, and so forth. But it helped to give kind of an order. The Mayan civilization of the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico had a very powerful, sophisticated astronomical science. They had libraries of when the stars and the constellations were moving and when there'd be an eclipse. And the eclipse was very, very important to know about ahead of time, because if the moon came over the face of the sun, the fear was the sun would die and life would come to an end. So the astronomers would tell the kings, the different various kings in their territories, there will be coming an eclipse. And the king would then tell the people, now start praying that the god of darkness would not overcome the god of light. If the astronomers didn't tell them, the king, and the king didn't tell the people, the astronomers might lose their lives, and the king might lose his life too. But they understood that there was constellations, that there were sets of lights in the sky that would come up at certain times of the year and move by. And these would tell them certain things about the order and the regularity of life. And that was soothing and calming for them. Long ago, people didn't have TVs, they didn't have books. They sat out, perhaps at night, and they watched the skies and they watched these, well, formations of constellations and began to give them names and began to know that these would rise at certain times and then move on. Again, there's a regularity, a sense of order to creation. And then there was other stars or lights that kind of moved different times, and they became called planets. And then there was comets also. But behind all this, we see that there is a sense of order, that God has created things to work in a certain manner. We live in an area of four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. Although some might say there's two seasons. There's winter and road construction. Sometimes the springs are long and beautiful and warm, and sometimes they're short and cold. Summer comes, it can be cooler, it can be hotter, it can be too hot. There's fall when things are harvested, and then there's winter when things become dormant and settle down for a while. And these can be longer and shorter, good for the longer season of growing or not. But there is a sense of order, again, of regularity to what God has created in our world. Spring comes, eventually crops get planted, they do grow, they get harvested and move on. And that helps us to have a sense of, well, we know these things will take place, and that's good. If we continue looking at creation, we find that there's a beautiful complexity to creation. There was a painter named Monet who trained in the classical way of painting. But he began to look at trees and grasses and noticed that in a tree, there's not just one color of green. There's many variations of the color green and the grasses and the waters. And he began to say, well, how can I represent that? How can I represent its complexity? And he began to move into what's called impressionistic painting, where you step back a little bit and you can see the variations. But he was aware that our world has very complex and beautiful. We have fruits that ripen at different times of the year, vegetables that ripen at different times. Not all right now, boom, and then. We have the beautiful spring with the flowers that grow, and then the beautiful colors of fall with the leaves turning. And so we have this, even winter with the snow coming down has a beauty to it. So we look at this creation and say, it's amazing. It's complex. It's ordered. There's a sense of we are part of what's moving around, and we'll continue going part of this, and it is good. Behind all this creation, there is a God, our maker and creator, as we say. And we have a relationship to this God, and we live through the seasons, and we live through the orders of the skies. So it's a sense of we are part of something bigger than ourselves that is going and happening in a good way. I have a granddaughter who's about 22 months now old, and when her mother leaves her room, it's just devastating. She can't follow. She just breaks down into sobbing and crying. And I say to her, it's okay. She will come back. She always comes back. She always comes back to you. Well, it doesn't make too much difference to her. She's just afraid. But as children, didn't we begin to realize that our parents would be there for us? They would be there caring for us? Yeah. And so we have a sense, as look at creation, we see that there is a creator that is caring for us. And the seasons and all the different things have a way of helping us. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. And we have that presence of Jesus. We have his words, and we have him in our life. But we also see God in nature, in creation. But there's where we see God a little bit veiled or hidden or masked too, because what else is there in creation? There are earthquakes, there are floods, there are droughts, there are typhoons, there are hurricanes, there are tsunamis, there are bad things that happen, and we can't deny that, and we acknowledge those things. And St. Paul, in chapter 8 of his letter to Romans, says, creation groans in bondage. We, because of sin, live in a bondage to the power of evil that, well, like he said, the good I want to do, I do not do, and the evil I do not want is what I do. And creation also waits. And so creation doesn't work perfectly. And people lose their lives, and people can't eat, and different things happen. And yet behind all of this, the regularity of seasons, the constellations, while we move around our sun, there's a sense that God is there. God is there. And life gets renewed again and again and again. So God is continuing the way of creation. My first parish was at Cormorant Lutheran Church in south of Lake Park, Minnesota. And I was told in a meeting with the call committee that I may not take vacation during the summer. In the summer, we had two services like you do here, and they were full. And in the winter, we had one service. But through the years, I've heard people say, and you've heard them say too, well, I can worship God just as well out on the golf course. I can worship God just as well out on the lake. And the answer I come back with is, that's great. Do they? Do you? And if they do, that's wonderful, because what you're doing is reveling. Reveling in God's creation. Reveling in the message of God saying, I am here. I am providing all this. I am with you. I'm with you through creation and nature, and be assured, be at rest. I take care of things. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. And so God speaks to us through this wonderful cosmos that we are a part of. Psalm 148, that we read together, celebrates and asks God, all of God's creation, the hills, the rivers, the prairies, the animals, the skies, us, human beings, all to praise God. To praise God because God is behind all of us, and God is creating and continuing God's world through the creation that we celebrate. So let us joyfully revel in what God is doing in our world. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the apostles. Oh, no, excuse me. Would you sing first? Creating God, your fingers trace. Hymn 684, 684.
us now stand and confess our faith in words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For all servants of the gospel, for the church throughout the world, and for all who sing the praise and glory of God, that through the gift of faith, all declare the wonderful name of Christ, let us pray.
Amen.
For the well-being of creation, for mountains and lakes, for fields and forests, and for plants and animals, that God lift up good stewards to care for the entire earth, let us pray.
Amen.
For the nations and their rulers, for aid workers, and for people in war-torn areas, for people who deal with domestic violence, for the victims, for those who help, and for those who have abused, that they may have a new life. And all others will be named before you in our heart. That God raise up leaders and advocates to work for the equality of all. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all who cry out in need, the hungry and the poor, the downtrodden and the outcast, the grieving and the sick, those we name before you in our hearts. That all know that God is near and hears their cries, let us pray. For teachers preparing for the upcoming school year, for those who are traveling and absent from worship, and for those who visit our congregations, that God's love lead them in their daily vocations. Let us pray.
Amen.
If there are other petitions at this time, you may name them out loud or in the silence of your hearts. For all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, including those who have died, especially those we name before you in our hearts, Lord. Confident that we belong to you in life and death, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Do we take time to share the peace at this point? Let's do that. Let us now make an offering to our Lord as you are able. Blessed are you, O God, for the green earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal on the last week in Jerusalem. But as they went through the Passover meal, he changed it. He said about something about the bread and the wine. That was not just bread and wine of the lamb given for forgiveness of sins back in Egypt the night they escaped, but that he became the bread and the wine for their freedom from sin, power of sin and death and the devil. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all from this, for this cup is a new testament in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And the word remembrance carries more than the word reminding or remembering. It carries the meaning of re-experience. So as we come forward and receive the bread, we receive Christ. As we dip it in the wine or the grape juice, we dip it in Christ's blood. He is present. We re-experience him in this holy meal. Let us join together in our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God invites you to this table of bounty. Come, the banquet is ready. You will take the bread and dip it in either the darker liquid, which is grape wine, or the lighter fluid, grape juice. us stand as we are able. The body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made through Jesus Christ. Receive the blessing. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
We continue with God Who Stretched the Spangled Stars, hymn 771. Build up in Him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.